Hello and welcome to Sewn Be Unpicked 10, the finale, with me, Rob.
And me, Sean.
And before we start, as always, we have to do our disclaimer. We are not anything to do with Love Production, with Sewn Be, or with the BBC. This is just a personal podcast where we discuss our thoughts about the show. So, the final, Sean, what did you think of the episode?
I loved. This is probably the first time there's been a finale that I've really got excited about. Don't get me wrong, the others have been really, really good. They've been really exciting, but I feel like I feel more invested in this year's contestants. There's just something about them that I just really, really love. And I would genuinely be happy for any of them to walk away with the crown, with the Sewing Bee crown.
I mean, I would agree with you there. I mean, I always pretty much enjoy the finals, but this one, I feel like I would have been happy for anyone to win. But also, going into it, I feel like they were all so kind of close. It was almost neck and neck. So I feel like any of them could have won. Whereas in the past, it's been finals where there's maybe been one clear, you know, contestant that's a lot more skilled than the other ones, or you know, someone who's been fantastic all the way through. So, and there's usually kind of like an underdog that is like, you know, battling on. But this time, everyone seemed at such a high level that it just could have gone any way.
It was an amazing. I mean, I really think they made the right choice in letting all four of them go through.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. I think it would have been hard to have got rid of one of them last week. And I think it made it seem like a fun finale as well, that the four of them were there together.
Yeah. And I mean, come on, that allowing all four to go in reduced Patrick to tears is a very, very rare thing. I can't remember the last time Patrick cried on Sewing Bee. So, I mean, that goes to show how much that semi-final meant and that kind of result of allowing all four of them meant to the judges. So, yeah, I was really looking forward to this one and it really didn't disappoint. The challenges were great. The outfits that they made were great. It was a good episode. It was a really lovely episode.
Well, going into this episode, so Deborah had Garment of the Week three times. Manny had won the most challenges of any of the contestants on this year. Annie had Garment of the Week also three times. And Brogan had missed out. She'd always been kind of in the top and had consistently done well throughout the whole series. So it really was kind of, you know, anyone's taking. So it was a really fantastic episode.
It really was.
So should we start with the pattern challenge? They had 2.5 hours to make the amorphous dress designed by our very own Esme Young in 1983 and worn by Cher, or bought by Cher at least.
Yeah, one bought by Cher, one meant to be worn by a model, but then the model got too drunk. Which I absolutely love these little kind of snippets we get into Esme's past. Absolutely love them because I absolutely adore Patrick, and Sewing Bee would not be the same without Patrick, but I just feel like we get to know so much more about Esme.
Yeah, she does drop these little gems throughout the series, doesn't she?
She loves to name drop. Doesn't she? Oh yeah, I've been to Cher's house. I've sold a dress to Cher. I've sat on a windowsill with David Bowie. I've done this. She loves to name drop, but you know what? When she's met some amazing icons like that, who wouldn't name drop?
Well, when we do the next series, Sean, between now and then, you've got to read her autobiography and then you can tell us little snippets.
Oh, I'm already reading it. I'm already reading it. It has been amazing so far.
Oh, excited. I can't wait to hear about that.
Like, one thing that I learned. So, you know the bunny suit in Bridget Jones?
Yes.
Esme made.
Oh, I think I knew that. I think I'd seen someone post about that on Instagram or something.
Yeah. Esme made that Playboy bunny suit, which
iconic.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, when you think of Bridget Jones, that is one of the things you think of is the bunny suit. The Tarts and Vickers barbecue that turned out to then just be a posh barbecue dinner party thing. I think she is such an amazing person, and it is amazing to read about her life.
I was a little bit shocked by the amorphous dress. It seemed very
risque.
Very risque, very revealing. You can't really wear undergarments with it because you see them through the cutouts.
Yeah.
And I know from wearing D-ring belts, D-rings can come undone very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you've got something kind of shiny or slippery going through them. Because there's not a lot to kind of hold them closed. You've just got that bit of fabric going through them, and it's the tension that's on the D-rings that's kind of holding them in place. So that going out clubbing in that dress would be a little bit dangerous, I feel.
Yes. I can't help but feel that maybe you might need to sew yourself into it a little bit just to make sure that you don't end up losing your dress on the dance floor. But yeah, it's very, very risque. I just thought this was such a brilliant challenge to end on. Something that Esme has created herself. And since watching this episode, I have tried and tried and tried and tried to find a pattern similar to this, and I cannot find it anywhere.
Well, you'll have to draft one.
I know, but drafting's hard. I'd much rather someone else do the work and I just use it.
Well, I thought about you during this pattern challenge because Lycra being a full-way stretch fabric and traditional for dance wear,
mm-hmm.
something that you are very, very familiar with. I haven't really used it very much, to be honest.
It is. I mean, that is why we need to have a sewing day. You're going to teach me how to make shirts and I'm going to teach how to use full-way stretch.
Deal.
But yeah, this excited me so much. I love this. And yeah, it got me thinking about designs again, which I haven't really had much time to recently. But yeah, I got really kind of, oh, I want to do this. And oh, what if you made it longer? What if you did this? And I was like, yep, this is what I love about Sewing Bee, when you get one of those challenges that really sparks your creativity and you think, oh, I would love to do that. But yeah, I thought this was perfect. Deceptively tricky, because there were lots of curves and wavy lines and going what bit connects to what. But yeah, I thought this was brilliant. I thought this was such a brilliant pattern to end on.
Do you, for anyone listening that is thinking about sewing with Lycra, have you got any top tips that you would share with somebody if they were thinking about sewing?
Always get, because you get different weights in Lycra, different strengths. I mean, one of my favorite shops, Funky Fabrics, they do so many different weights, but also they have so many different textures as well. So they've got like your standard, your Titan Lycra, Flex Lycra. So I would always buy an extra bit of fabric that you can play around with. So when it comes to adjusting tensions on an overlocker, you can have a little play, and then you're not ruining your fabric. You're not risking the garment. You're just having a good play. But I mean, that's kind of applicable to sewing in general. Always have a spare bit of fabric. I actually keep a notebook by my sewing machine that I write down every time I get a fabric from somewhere, or I get a different kind of weight of fabric, I'm recording the tensions that I found work best for it. So that way you can always go back to it if you buy from that shop again, but you might have overlocked a woven fabric which needed a slightly less tense top stitching. Yeah, that would probably be my main advice. And don't be afraid of a three-stage zigzag, because they are very, very, they don't always look the prettiest, but they are very, very useful when it comes to stretch.
Okay, that's interesting. So
always overpin. You can never have too many pins. It may seem like you're overdoing it, but trust me, you can never have too many pins in stretch wear.
So Sean's top tips are pin, 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 and write down when you get the right when you get the right tensions and details in a little book.
Yeah, always keep a little sewing diary.
All good tips. Right, we should probably start talking about the pattern challenge. Yeah. So starting at the bottom, in fourth place, we had Brogan, who had chosen a rectangular foiled purple lycra, and she'd kind of picked the most difficult lycra to use because it doesn't have the same stretch in all directions. It also kind of becomes quite lumpy quite easily, and she had some difficulty here with kind of getting lumpy seams, and it was very difficult for her to mitre the edges, and some of it wasn't laying flat. What did you think as a whole?
I loved the choice. I thought it was a really, especially for a party dress, that was a really cool fabric pick. If you've got experience with foiled lycras, because lycra is slippery enough as it is, but when you add a foil onto it as well, it's even worse. And the bit that I was a bit worried about for Brogan was particularly when she said, oh, I hope there's enough sparkle on it to distract the judges from the not so great sewing. But the problem is, especially with foiled lycras, it's a lot like your satins and leathers. Once you've kind of sewn, if you've sewn through it and you've sewn through a foil, it's going to appear on that foil and you won't get rid of it no matter what you try. Also, when you sew things like satins that have got quite a high shine, the moment the light hits them, you're able to see all of the kind of dodgy areas because it really casts a shadow on them. And that's what I was worried about for Brogan, because it was so shiny that actually it would make the bad areas appear more. I liked her distraction theory, but in practicality, it wasn't going to work. But I liked her fabric choice. I just think it was a little bit too brave. Sometimes, I know you should never really play it safe, but sometimes you should play it a little bit safer.
Yeah, I guess really picking that level of, you know, lycra is quite a difficult one. And maybe she didn't realise when she first got it, and that as she started sewing, when you've already cut everything out and you start sewing, then you think, this is actually quite tricky.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the look of it. I thought it was very like party look. It was kind of like a purple glitter ball. It was, you know, really caught the light and stuff, but it did cause those issues. And as you said, once that needle's punctured the foil, you will always see that then kind of thing. You can't really then hide it. So that was Brogan in fourth place. And in third place, we have Annie, who had chosen a red lycra. It looked like a fairly standard lycra to me. There were some baggy issues going on in certain places, and the armhole looked like it'd been pulled. But generally, I thought it looked like quite a nice dress.
Yes, she did really well with it. I liked the fact that she went for a plain colour rather than something kind of overly decorative. So I thought she made a good choice, because I mean, that had it just been a little less baggy, that would have been an absolutely stunning dress. That would have been kind of Bond girl level seductive dress to wear. It was beautiful. I think for Anthony, her issue came from where she just stretched some bits, so it's slightly warped. That's kind of where overpinning helps, because at least if you're overpinning, and I know loads of people are going to scream at this, and it is a really bad sewing habit of mine, but when I'm working with stretch, I do go over the pins.
Sean.
I know you shouldn't, I really know you shouldn't, but I do find that when you go over the pins, as long as you're taking it nice and slow and you're not going to hit any of those pins, I do find that it helps to kind of keep the lycra going through consistently.
Mm.
But sometimes if you've got big gaps, because lycra stretches, if that pin then gets stuck at the front of the foot, the feed dogs are going to keep pulling on that fabric. And so it's just going to stretch and stretch and stretch and warp it out of place. But if you've consistently got enough pins through it, it allows the foot to just keep rolling over them.
Mm-hmm.
I know it is a bad sewing habit, but I do find it's an absolute godsend when you're using a sewing machine to sew lycra. Not overlocking. Never.
Oh, Jesus, no.
I've spent a small fortune replacing blades that I've accidentally hit with a needle.
Oh.
Yeah, my one's not cheap. It's about 30 quid for a brand new blade on my overlocker.
Blimey.
I have to be very careful. But overall, it was stunning. It just needed a little bit of tweaking. Maybe if she has a little bit longer to take a bit more time on it, it would have been absolutely perfect. But it was beautiful. Loved the colour choice. But yeah, just a little bit baggy.
Then in second place, we have Manye, who had used a black velvet glitter sparkle lycra. And her dress looked pretty good. There was a slight twist in the neck. And I think there was a few puckers or tucks here and there. But it was generally really well sewn. And I thought this was super fun for a party. I actually had some of this fabric. It must be about 2 years ago now. And I made myself a jumper and short combo set. And I actually wore that jumper when I was on Kirsty's Homemade Christmas because it was...
It looked familiar.
Yeah, I love that fabric. It is amazing. It sparkles. When you get it under light, especially like a halogen light, it sparkles like mad. I absolutely love it.
I was sat there thinking, I'm getting deja vu about this fabric. Why do I recognize this fabric so much? I thought I recognized. Now it makes sense. Now I don't feel like I'm going insane. It's nice to know that I'm not losing the plot just yet.
What did you think of Manu's dress?
Fabric choice, perfect. Absolutely perfect. I think, particularly with something like this, velvet seemed to be a lot more forgiving when it comes to sewing. The only thing was, is I could just imagine the amount of fluff that was over the overlocker.
Mm.
Because, yeah, like when you're particularly stretch velvets, those things molt everywhere. I made a blue dance outfit for a friend ages ago, and I literally came out of the garage looking like a fairy smurf. I was covered head to toe in this blue fluff. And yeah, that was the first time I hoovered my overlocker, because it was the only way I was going to get that stuff off of it, was by hoovering it. But great fabric choice. I loved it. Screen party. I was a little bit worried, seeing as Manu seemed to be quite far behind compared to everyone else. But she managed to pull it off. She got it on her mannequin. It looked really good. It was an A+ for me, fabric choice. She did really well. I was so ridiculously proud of her. She scared the living daylights out of me, but I'm really happy for her.
Yeah, me too. I absolutely love this. As you mentioned about hoovering the overlocker, I bought, top tip for people who are using overlockers regularly, I bought a mini hoover. It's kind of like the one you would use, I think, to hoover like your keyboard. Well, it's a bit bigger than that, actually. Maybe like a mini one to do your car or something. And it is perfect for when you're using the overlocker and you've got all that fluff and you've got bits that might have fallen kind of inside. And my overlocker, where the blade is, it's quite easy for little strips of fabric to fall down into the machine.
Yeah.
So what I try to do regularly is open it up and get the little hoover out, and I get a little brush I don't know where I've gotten from, but this, oh, I know. It's a little brush that comes with, I think, like a beard dyeing kit, which is perfect. And I just use the little brush and the little Hoover, and it just cleans out the inside of the overlocker, and it, oh, it just makes it nice.
Yeah, there is something quite nice about having a like dust-free overlocker.
So that's a little top tip from me. That fabric as well, it's quite nice to sew. There is an issue though, because when you're sewing right side to right side, the nap on the velvet sticks together like Velcro. So you're like, oh, this is fun. You know, you don't need so many pins because it's kind of stuck together. But when you're sewing wrong side to wrong side, the wrong side of that fabric is really shiny and slippery.
Mm-hmm.
And it moves around like no one's business. So when I was sewing that, I had to make sure I did what you did. I had to make sure I put loads of pins in. Just to stop it moving, because it was shifting around everywhere. So that was quite interesting. Also, with that velvet, I think because it was black, you could hide a few sins in there, because you've not got the reflection that Brogan's got on her fabric, where you can see where something's pulling or something's tugged or there's a tuck or whatever in there. With that black velvet, it kind of absorbs the light, and so you can't easily see. So that was quite clever there, Manny. I think that was a good fashion choice. So moving to first place, we had Deborah, who had used a silver, and it looked a little bit like a silver suede effect lycra to me.
Yeah, I was kind of getting crushed, like a heavy duty crushed velvet. But oh my God, that was beautiful.
Yeah, it was extremely well sewn. I thought it was one of the classier ones, because I think this dress in the wrong fabric could look very Vegas stripper.
Yeah, very tacky. Let's not diss strippers, because I mean, I've owned for strippers, so let's not insult my initial customer base. It's definitely one of those patterns that if you use the wrong fabric, it could look really horrific. And it either needs to be a plain colour or a very, I don't know if this is the right word, but quite a mature fabric.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you, oh, well, actually saying that, it could probably look quite cool if you like had it in like a Pokemon fabric. It could go, it could either look really classy or really, really tacky. And it's just being very, very mindful of what fabrics you're using for that sort of dress. But I thought Deborah's choice was fantastic. I think she picked the right weight. I think she picked the right colour. It was very sexy. I was so incredibly proud of Deborah.
Yeah, I thought Deborah was great. I thought it was a well-deserved win on Deborah's part. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a really good make. And they only had 2.5 hours, which is not a lot of time when you've got so many edges to overlock and turn and hem. That is a feat of engineering to get that done in 2.5 hours.
And like Patrick said, they were given quite basic instructions as well.
Yeah, the instructions looked like it was cut fabric, make dress.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I got from it, was just stitch this, add a D-ring, put on mannequin.
Yeah, I would have needed instructions of how to get on the mannequin.
Yeah, I would have needed instructions on what way round does this dress go. But yeah, I just thought this was a brilliant challenge. It was so good. And I just love the fact that it was one of Esme's designs as well. What an absolute privilege to have the opportunity to remake something that Esme created and then have her judge it.
Definitely, yeah. It really was a nice touch that it was something that Esme had actually made, and something that was at the V&A Museum.
Yeah, I really want to go see that dress now.
Yeah, me too. And we were only there a couple months ago. I wish we'd have gone and had a look while we were there.
Yeah, that would have been absolutely brilliant. But yeah, it was it was a bizarre day that day anyway, wasn't it? It was just all a bit chaotic, but maybe next time.
Next time, we'll have to organise another trip and go and have a look at Esme's dress. Plan. So that was the pattern challenge. Second up, we have the transformation challenge, which was to take scraps from the entire series to make a party outfit that they would actually wear, and it could be to any party that they wanted. As a challenge, did you think this was a good choice?
I thought this was cute because it was kind of, it gave you that little bit of nostalgia. It was kind of a nice end to the show, like taking bits of fabrics that you'd already used to create something. I think I would have liked it more if they were given a bin and were only allowed to use the fabrics that they had previously used. Though, saying that, we wouldn't have had some of the amazing creations that we did if they were only allowed to use their own fabrics. But yeah, I thought it would have just been an interesting touch if it was like, this is all the mess you made in the last couple of weeks. Now you've got to make something out of it.
I think in a past series, they've done this before, and I think in a past series, they did give each of them their own scraps and they used that.
So yeah, I thought it would have been quite interesting if they were only allowed to use the fabrics that they had previously used. I mean, it would probably limit. I mean, could you imagine if you're one of these that only had like teeny tiny little scraps by the end of it? That would have been absolutely awful. Right, I'm just going to need an extra 2 hours on this challenge just so I can make a brand new bit of fabric out of the teeny tiny little scraps that I've got left over. But yeah, no, they did do it. I can't remember what season it was, but I do remember them doing their, right, here's your mess, go make something out of it. But yeah, I liked this one, and I liked the fact that they wanted it to be personal to the sewers as well, that it was something you would wear, not just a party dress, not a party top, something that you would wear to a party that you would attend. It was just a nice little personal touch. I really like this one, and some of the things that were made were absolutely stunning.
I agree, and I think that adding the line, something that you would wear to a party, it also makes them have to be a little bit more clever with what they're going to do, because on some of the transformation challenges, sometimes they can make bizarre stuff and you're like, who is going to wear that? And like a boob tube with tulle coming off of it or something. And you're like, no one's going to wear that. But by saying it has to be something that you would wear to a party, it kind of restricts them a little bit and makes it a bit more realistic as to, you might have to wear this. So, you know,
we walk outside and wear this on that little tea break we let you have between challenges.
You're going to have to go home wearing this. So.
Yeah, it's like, this is the outfit you're wearing at the finale when your family turn up.
So, out of the outfits, fourth place, we have Brogan, who had made a pink frill skirt and top combo. It had floral straps and waistband and some little lace bits in it. And I thought it was very cute, and I thought it was very Brogan. Did you like this?
It was very, very cute. It was very, very Brogan. I kind of got what Esme meant, though, about how the kind of ruffles would really kind of make it very clear of someone's bust. And I don't think anyone who is quite big chested would really be able to wear it because it's really going to protrude. But yeah, I thought it was cute. It was classic Brogan, which was really nice to see. And yeah, I could actually imagine her wearing that.
I thought Esme's comment was a little unfair, and this is the reason why. Because it was supposed to be an outfit that Brogan would be wearing.
Yeah.
And I could see what Esme meant, that if you had an extremely busty lady and she was wearing that, then yeah, those frills might be like shooting out all over the place. But Brogan isn't, and I hope she doesn't mind me saying that, isn't hugely busty.
Yeah.
And I think that wouldn't have been an issue for her to wear. I think those frills would have sat perfectly fine on her body.
I completely get what you mean.
I don't think that would have been an issue. So I kind of felt that that was a bit of a harsh criticism that wasn't really needed for that particular thing. I can see if she was making this for somebody else, yes, I agree. But for her, I don't think that had been an issue. And if it was for somebody who, you know, like typical model where they're completely flat-chested, that would have been an issue at all.
Yeah.
In fact, it would have kind of given them a little bit of a bust. So, yeah, I don't know. I just didn't necessarily agree with that criticism.
I, been any other challenge, I would have gone, yeah, no, like, you asked her to make a party dress, then, yeah, I completely get where you're coming from. But, like you said, because it was a party dress that she would wear, yes, it was a bit of a harsh critique. But I think also, we're at the final. Everything was really, really good. Mm-hmm. Everyone did amazing creations. I imagine they probably had a hard time critiquing. So, yeah, I kind of feel like it. If that's all she really got critiqued on, there's not really much to worry about.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they were having to pick such minute details, I think, because they'd all just done so well. So in third place, we had Deborah, who had made a white rose fabric and red dress with lace trim and black gingham detail. And it was very garden party. It, you know, felt very understated. To me, it was probably my least favorite just because it didn't feel really celebratory. Like, it didn't have as much fun as I was looking for. It was very well constructed, beautifully constructed. I liked the idea of it. And it looked like it fit the mannequin exquisitely. And the sewing looked like it was incredibly well done for 90 minutes. It just didn't fill me with joy personally.
No, I do. I think the one bit I focused on and knew that I didn't like was the floral fabric that was used on it.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like that kind of took away from the overall garment. And I think had she just stuck to the block colours, I think that would have been absolutely stunning and that would have been one of my favourites. But there was just, yeah, I think it was just the floral fabric I wasn't particularly keen on. But then looking at it in a bigger picture, she might not have had as much of the other colours.
Mm.
Case of having to use what went best with it. So I can't really dwell too much on that because they are using their scraps. So yeah, it really was you're just gonna have to try your best with whatever fabrics are left. But yeah, it wasn't my favorite, but it was beautifully constructed.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great dress, and I mean, any other week of transformations, it could have been a winner because it was so well done.
Mm-hmm.
Just not my personal taste. So in second place, we had Annie, who had made a white kimono style top with a wide waist belt in the grey bamboo fabric from Japanese Week. And it looked like metal buttons, and it had very interesting flared sleeve. I've written down here wizard sleeve, and it's got a little bit of netting on it. And I thought the whole look together was very chic and sophisticated.
This was beautiful. It was also probably one of my favorite interactions with Sarah when she was like, oh yeah, no, this would look good as it is. And Sarah was like, no, you would wear like jeans with it. Like, you're not just going out in a top and a belt. Like, no, I would have to send you back to your room to go put some bottoms on. So yeah, that just made me chuckle. But oh, it was chic. It was beautiful. I could imagine it being like kind of a posh anniversary dinner or a special birthday. It was so beautiful. And again, I could really see Annie wearing this. I got what the judges meant, where the belt was just a little bit too bulky at the sides, and obviously it then created that kind of wrinkled effect. But you know what? She had an hour and a half to do this. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I was so happy with Annie.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't bothered by it. The judges didn't like that, but when I watched it, I thought that that was an intentional pleating that she'd put in. I didn't realise that maybe it had been bunching up or something. I just thought that that was how it was supposed to be. So it didn't really bother me that much.
I was exactly the same. It didn't bother me at all. I thought it was an intentional thing. And actually, it really didn't. I mean, I suppose if it was on a real person, it might look different. But yeah, it didn't bother me at all. I thought this was absolutely stunning.
Well done, Annie. We approve. And in first place, we had Manye, who had produced a metallic blue lace-up bodice top, and it was giving me very 80s vibes.
Mm-hmm.
It had little netting detail on. She put black eyelets that I thought were really cute and a really clever choice, and with the kind of black ribbon that she'd used to tie it up as well. I thought this looked like a professional item that you could buy in a shop.
This was so, so good. I loved it. I loved the fact that she was using Annie's Bowie fabric, because I loved that jacket dress. I just love this. I was getting proper 80s vibe. I was loving the corset look on it. I was loving the ruffles on it. Oh, you know what? There was points in other episodes where I was always a little bit worried about Manye, and this really showed that she deserved to be in this final. I was so, so happy with it. I just thought it was beautiful. And again, something I could see Manye wearing. I know she comes across as a bit more kind of demure in her dress sense, but actually, as an old cosplay kid who loves comic books, I could see her wearing that.
Yeah, I could see a lot of girls wanting to wear a top like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was so cute. I thought you could do that top in like every metallic colour, and it would just be so much fun to wear at a party. I hope, Manu, I think they give all of the sewers about 6 months afterwards, they send you back a big box with all the stuff that you made. So I hope she does something with that.
Yeah.
Like, puts up a mannequin or something. It was so cute. So that was the transformation challenge. Up next, we had the very final made-to-measure of the series, where they had 5.5 hours to produce a glamorous party jumpsuit, something you might wear on the red carpet. And we had tears immediately when the contestants saw their friends in the room, which I thought was just adorable.
Yeah, I mean, this is always a lovely, lovely bit, because it's just, I think it's always one of those things. I imagine, like, when you get into the final, you just want to share that excitement with the people that are closest to you. And it's just lovely. It's really, really nice that they get to make something for someone special to them rather than just making it for a model. I love this one. I thought a jumpsuit was going to be really, really interesting. As the judges said, you've got to be really careful for the rise on a jumpsuit, because it could either go too baggy or too tight, and neither of them are flattering. I thought this was a really, really cool one, because I know every single time it's that kind of celebration, and it's only so many times you could do kind of like a red carpet dress. So it was nice to see them change up a little bit. But what I want to know is, what would you have done?
Oh, okay. Well, before we discuss that, I wanted to just agree with you a couple points that you just raised. One, that I agree that it was getting a bit boring in the final every year to be having, oh, it's got to be a gown.
Yeah.
It's got to be a gown. And I just felt that having the jumpsuit, it kind of opened it up to be a bit more gender neutral, that you could have done a jumpsuit for a man.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know they've had a gown for a man in the past as well, when Matt Gage made his partner, who's a drag queen, he made him a gown. But still, sometimes I feel like the gown one, it, after this many years, it does feel a little bit stale. So yeah. I was also really excited when they said jumpsuit. I was like, yay, something a bit different.
Yeah.
And going back to Rise, so for listeners who maybe aren't sewers, the Rise is kind of, it's kind of the measurement from your belly button down under your crotch, up the back, up your bum, and kind of to your lower back. So it's that measurement. And it's quite a difficult thing to get right. And when the issue you have with jumpsuits is, if you're wearing, say, trousers and a top, and when you sit down, because the trousers aren't connected to the top, the trousers can kind of shift down a little bit, the top can shift up a little bit because they're not connected. So there's nothing that is pulling them or moving them apart from your own body. Where you've got a jumpsuit, everything is connected together. So as you sit down and that fabric is kind of being pulled under your bum, it's pulling then the top down, and it can cause all kinds of issues. And if it's not long enough, then it can also rise up and you get a hungry bum. And if it is too long, then it kind of gives you a little kind of pouchy, little kind of crotchy bit that doesn't look cute as well.
Baggy crotch.
Yes, not cute. Baggy crotch gives you a little kind of like a little willy pouch there, and it's not cute. Especially not on a lady. It's not cute.
No, it's really not a cute look. So, yeah, go on then. What would you...
So I've been desperately trying to think while I've been filling time. I'm joking. I would have gone with a... I would have gone with a short sleeve, but long, full leg, and tapered leg, almost kind of like cigarette-style trouser. Mm-hmm. And I would have done something in a brocade, like metallic or jacquard metallic fabric. So it does feel quite glamorous and opulent and pick up the light, but is not too difficult to sew. They do fray like no one's business, but they're not, I think they're stable enough that they're not too scary to sew with. So I think I would have done something like that with maybe a zip down the back, kind of hidden. Mm-hmm. Almost, you could do some kind of cape or something. They were going crazy for like capes and oversized sleeves. See, I don't know where I would have done that personally, but yeah, I think that's what I would have done. What would have you done, Sean?
I had two ideas. So I would have either have gone somewhere sort of between Annie's and Brogan's,
mm-hmm.
where I would have made quite a nice fitting jumpsuit, but like a nice kind of skirt train that goes around it. But mine probably would have been attached rather than something that was removable. Or going along with like Annie's inspiration when she was inspired by the tuxedo jumpsuit.
Yeah.
I would have done something quite similar to that, but maybe either in a black satin or a black velvet. But I would have done like a halter neck jumpsuit, but with maybe a slightly a baggier trouser, maybe like a kind of dhoti pant. But I would have gone down that kind of tuxedo route, gone very kind of Dita Von Teese, burlesque, Marlena Dietrich. So yeah, those were my kind of two ideas, either kind of slightly dressy pant jumpsuit or more kind of tuxedo-y sort.
Oh, that would have been really cute. Mm. I like the idea of that. Especially, yeah, that would have been really cute. I like that. Right, well... before we start talking about them, the other thing I wanted to say is I absolutely loved Deborah and her friends, Winglish. I have to say, because I went to university in Wales, in North Wales, and in that area, in Bangor, North Wales, a lot of the population, Welsh is their first language. And so you would go into a shop and you would be greeted in Welsh and people would chat to you in Welsh until you kind of said, I'm sorry, I don't speak Welsh, and then they would switch to English. And I had friends in my first year of uni. One of the girls I lived with, her boyfriend was from Anglesey, and he hardly spoke any English whatsoever. So when we went for nights out, if she nipped off to the toilet, we had some very awkward, stilted conversations with him where he could barely say anything to us, and our Welsh was not good. But it reminded me, as they were chatting to each other, and then every now and again an English word pop in the middle of the Welsh, and it just
like
a lot of happy memories.
Yeah, it's my favorite bit was like the whole like, oh yeah, they would ask you for your autograph in the co-op, but the only word I actually understood was co-op.
Oh my god, yeah, when they talked about the people asking for autograph in co-op, I was cracking up. That's yeah. I hope someone does ask Deborah now for autograph in co-op.
You know what, I am tempted now just to go to Wales, find Deborah, wait for her to pop into the co-op, and then ask her, just so someone's done it. But I think my other favorite bit of this whole situation was Sarah then going up to them going, you're probably just sitting there insulting all of the other sewers and none of us would know what you're saying. I was like, you know what? If it wasn't for the fact that cameras were on, I probably would have.
I tell you, you've got to be careful though, because they always put the, they always get a linguist in.
Yeah, they always get the subtitles on. So yeah, unless you've got some money to bribe someone not to advertise what you actually said. But yeah, I loved their relationship. I thought it was such a cute one. And the fact that they had everyone else cracking up in the sewing room was just lovely.
Yeah. So we should actually just quickly say what the relationships were. So Brogan had her sister, Hayley, her big sister, Hayley, who was a doctor.
Yeah.
Nye had her friend, Beth, from school.
Yeah.
Annie had her friend and ex-work colleague Marina, who they used to work in a department store together. And Deborah had her friend and personal instructor Lisa. Right, so shall we go alphabetically?
Yeah, let's do it.
First up, we have, as always, Annie, who had produced a strapless jumpsuit in shades of very pale silver grey and kind of like a gunmetal grey with a giant bow detail. It was in Duchess satin. It had a train. There were boning. It had pockets. It was tuxedo inspired. Now, there was a lot of work in this. Everything that I've just said is a lot of work.
Yeah.
My personal opinion, and I think you might agree with this, but I'm not 100% sure, but I would have loved to have seen this look instead of being in that silvery grey and dark grey. I would have loved to have seen it in black.
Yeah,
I just thought if it had been in black and maybe the bow and the stripe had been in, I don't know, like an antique gold satin or something, or just a slightly different shade of dark grey. I just thought it would have been a little bit more red carpet, which it was. It was very red carpet and it was very glamorous. But I would have, I just desperately wanted to see this in black. So Annie, if you could remake this in black, that would be amazing.
I do agree with you, but I also loved her colour choice just because I think on her friend, it was just such a beautiful colour. Yeah, I have nothing that I can critique about this. Maybe that the bow could have been bigger. I think that's got to be one of the biggest bows that's been done on Sewing Bee. I'm just waiting for one year that someone literally just makes a dress out of a giant bow. It's like, there you go, Esme, are you happy now? It's like,
and the winner is
it's like episode one bow dress. Yeah, they've won. All right, everyone can go home now. It's like, we don't need a finale. Dave's won. He made a giant bow dress. I just thought this was beautiful. It's, she is literally the queen of contemporary. The fact that she had tuxedo vibes, but she wanted it to have that kind of tracksuit feel to it. I just thought this was stunning. It was absolutely beautiful. And the moment I saw the drawing for that bow, I was sitting there going, everyone else is screwed now.
Yeah.
That is a big bow, and you're about to appease Esme. It's like her yearly sacrifice of a giant bow is finally going to be met. Like, Esme can go and hibernate in peace now. She's had the giant bow. She can go and have a little nap until next year.
Wake her up when we start filming series 10.
Yes. It's like, everyone get the bows ready for when we wake her up. Let's keep her happy. But I just thought this was utterly stunning. The fit was perfect. The fact that her friend was saying that it felt lovely to wear, and you just sit and go, you know what, you've done that right if your model automatically says that they feel comfy. So yeah, I was so proud of Annie. This was beautiful.
It really was. It was stunningly made. It was impeccable. I had one slight issue. Now, the bodice was incredible. And for anyone that doesn't sew, the complexity and the structural engineering that you need to do to produce a strapless bodice it's difficult. And Annie's friend was also very well endowed in that area.
Yeah.
So if you imagine you're creating a bodice which is being held up with the boning, and that's pretty much what's kind of holding the structure and holding the body in, to do that so well, I mean, she hasn't been doing this for years and years and years. To produce a bodice like that, that is that well fitted, is just chef's kiss. Amazing, Annie. I don't know how she did it. It was incredible. My only problem with the fit, and I saw this when I watched it both times, is I think the crotch was too long by just a tiny bit. I think it was just like an inch too long, because as she moved, there was just, I think, a little bit too much fabric there. And it was just it was just causing it to like pouch up a little bit.
I'll need to have a rewatch.
You have a rewatch to see what you think. You might be like, no, Rob, you're seeing things. That's perfect. But just for me, I thought that it was a tiny bit too long. But I thought as a whole, that whole outfit was impeccable. It was stunning. It was red carpet. It was glamorous. It was chic. It was cool as well. Like, I could see someone really cool wearing that to an award ceremony.
It was stunning. And just to add on to the whole bodice structure engineering, so as someone who has made a corset for a very well endowed busty woman before, there are a lot of curves that go into that. There is a lot of seams that you have to bend that boning around. So to be able to get the shape that Annie did was amazing. But not only was the bodice the main support for keeping the whole garment up, not including the bow in this situation, because that is a lot. That bodice needs to be spot on and fit like a glove just to make sure that the whole thing doesn't fall down whilst the model's walking. But then to then have it supporting a bow of that size, that goes to show how well that bodice fit her model.
Yeah, it was. I just can't get my head around it.
It was phenomenal. Utterly phenomenal.
Right, well, we better go on.
Let's not fangirling over Annie now. Let's leave that one. Let's move on to the next one before we run out of time.
So next up we have Brogan, who had used a jacquard leopard fabric to produce a short play suit with removable tulle skirt. It had pleated detail in the bodice, and the tulle skirt was made from like a star embroidered tulle, which I thought was really super cute. To me, this looked like it was a really excellent fit. My only but is that I'm not 100% sure that those fabrics went that well together. The tour was giving me a little bit glamorous Halloween Hocus Pocus, which I thought was really cute, but I didn't know if it went with the leopard print.
I get where you're coming from because I loved it and I thought it was a really cute combo, but then I was also a little bit, but it's just on the edge that it's like it could not work. I really loved it as a combo. I thought it was really, really cute. My only beef with this outfit was when she said her nan was the queen of print.
And you're the queen of animal print.
I am the queen of animal print. Thank you very much. That's my, but I have to say her nan is now one of my new style icons because I absolutely love it. I mean, everyone knows my style icons are Kat Slater from EastEnders, Janice from Friends, with a hint of Patsy Stone. So yeah, I just love the fact that it was made like kind of inspired by her nan, but made for her sister. I do get what you mean. Like I think I would have preferred it maybe if it was just a plain black tulle rather than something that was embroidered, because I think it did distract and it was just on the edge of not quite working. My only issue with the outfit itself was when you looked at what everyone else, I kind of feel like Brogan played it a little bit too safe.
Okay, that's interesting.
I loved it, but I just felt like I got more of a wow factor from everyone else's. I just felt that Brogan played it just a tiny bit too safe with this one, but it was very, very cute. I loved the fabric. I want to know where she got that netting from because I just think it was gorgeous.
I'll keep my eye out for that netting for you.
Yeah.
I, carrying on from that, I will say I kind of agree. I wasn't 100% sure what party she was wearing this to, because if it had had a full leg, then I would have said like, oh yeah, I can see this out, you know, an evening party.
Yeah.
But because it was a short one, short jumpsuits to me always kind of tell my brain it's summer, it's, you know,
a picnic,
it's that kind of look. So when I see them for like evening events, and I know people do wear them to like evening events, but when I see them for evening events, something in my brain says, no, this isn't right. That should have full legs.
Yeah.
So I would have kind of liked to have seen it with full legs without maybe the tall skirt, and to have that maybe some kind of cape wrapped around the shoulders.
Yeah.
But I think as a look, it was super cute. And when you actually, I paused the screen as I was writing my notes, and I could see that the stitching on it was just done so well. Like that there was some top stitching on it and it was just beautifully done. So I mean, Brogan is very, very technically excellent at sewing. Her sewing skills are incredible, so well done, Brogan. I think it was great. So third we have Deborah, who had produced a colorful crepe strapless jumpsuit for her friend's hen party. And it had an asymmetric pleat kind of on the bodice, and it also had a bone bodice. I thought this was a fun and classy way of doing a jumpsuit. Maybe not red carpet, but definitely a fun kind of jumpsuit that a lot of women could wear. And I thought it was sewn just amazingly well. And I thought that pleat detail was quite clever as well, because the pleat came down and kind of almost hid the crotch a little bit, so you couldn't see if the rise was right or not because of that kind of pleat detail. So I thought, oh, that's quite a clever little trick there. But I thought that as a whole, I thought it was a really beautiful, fun jumpsuit, and her friends seemed to absolutely love it.
It was beautiful. I it just made me really, really happy. This jumpsuit, again, a strapless one, so she's had to bone the bodice, and she kind of said while she was sewing that she's never done this before, so she was a bit worried about it. And you know what broke my heart was when they kind of went round the room and they were chatting to everyone, and when she said, oh, I'm not supposed to be here, I don't know how I've got here. And I was like, you are an amazing sewer. That is why you were here. You fought for your place in this competition. So don't be so down on yourself, because actually you deserve to be in this competition. And this outfit alone was just stunning. I absolutely loved it. I loved the print. I loved the drape effect. I loved the fact that it was strapless. I loved that she did that little ruffle around the top of it with the black net, because it just gave it that extra dimension. I thought this was beautiful. I don't have a critique for it. I thought this was stunning, and I love the fact that she had a purpose behind making it as well.
Yeah, that was really cute. I love that she was actually making it for an event, and that her friend actually wore it at the hen do as well. I thought it was so amazing. And I just to reiterate something you just said a second ago about Deborah and confidence issues there, because it also kind of came up in her little VT bit where they talked to her husband, and he kind of said that, you know, sewing and stuff was a passion of hers, but then she didn't have the confidence to do it. And she'd actually gone to uni in Manchester and studied fashion, and then afterwards kind of went back to Wales and kind of packed it all away and kind of pushed it to one side. And I wanted to kind of shake her and say, Deborah, you've got Garment of the Week 3 times on Saturday. Yeah. That is an amazing achievement. You're in the final. That is an amazing achievement. You are an incredible, amazing sewer. And I really hope that she watches this series and she realizes how fantastic she is. And she really uses the series to get so many opportunities within the sewing world. And I hope that she, you know, starts teaching, or she goes and judges, you know, the WI shows, or she just does stuff, makes her own line of clothing or something.
Yeah.
I think she could go so far, because she's got such a amazing skill and taste level. Her taste level is superb. So yeah, I just wanted to go over that.
She is one that I would love for her to produce a book. Whether she goes down a kind of sewing tutorial line, or whether she does a kind of my sewing journey biography, I would love to get that book, because I would love to learn more about Deborah. She is phenomenal. She is inspiring. I know I've not always been the biggest Deborah fan, because just our tastes were on kind of different levels, but she is an absolutely amazing person, and I think she really represents a lot of us that we kind of feel quite self-conscious about our sewing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of time it becomes very, very personal, and it's our taste but not everyone else's. And so I really, really understood where she was coming from with that kind of lack of confidence in her skill. But Deborah, you are amazing. You are utterly, utterly amazing. And you should not feel self-conscious about your sewing style. It is amazing. Your skills are amazing. You are a phenomenal sewer. And we just want you to know how brilliant you are.
Yay for Deborah. Big round of applause. Right, we've got to move on.
Yeah.
So lastly, we have Man Yi, who had produced a fabric blocking jumpsuit, which was inspired kind of by Harlequin from DC. It was blue, and it was kind of blue georgette and stretch sequin fabric. Now, I thought this was really fun. I thought it was sparkly. I thought that she had set herself, as always, Manny, a massive challenge to sew with very different fabrics.
She doesn't like to take it easy, does she?
No, Georgette being very light and flimsy and not very stable. And then you have the stretch sequin, which sequins are always a bit of a nightmare. Just because they get everywhere, the shards of them go flying off and into the sewing machine, and you can break needles. Luckily, these were the smaller sequins, which are a little bit easier, but still not easy to sew with.
I would just like to put out there that if anyone decides to sew with sequins, you either remove the sequins from the seam allowance or you wear goggles.
Yes.
Trust me, as someone who's hit a sequin with a sewing needle and shattered that sewing needle, it is quite a scary moment, especially when you kind of see that shard of needle come towards your face. You either remove the sequins from the seam allowance or you wear goggles.
See, I wear glasses, so every time I break a needle, I'm not as terrified, although the first few times it happened to me, it did scare me quite a lot. But somebody I know told me, oh, I don't know why you're scared of sequins. I just use a really heavy needle and I just plow through them. But then later I found out he's got an industrial sewing machine.
Oh, well, yeah, that's all right if you've got an industrial sewing machine. If you've got a little domestic one, yeah, wear goggles, please. It's, yeah, take all the safety precautions you can.
Definitely. I think Manny's look was so fun, and it looked well made because she'd taken time to really make sure that the seams were lining up, and which is not easy with those fabrics. I thought the colour was stunning and looked beautiful on her friend. I thought it's the kind of outfit that you would have so much fun in if you went to a party. Yeah. The only thing for me is I felt like it was missing something.
So it's kind of more of a personal taste thing. Just wasn't a massive fan on the cape sleeves. I would have liked to have seen something a little bit more elegant. But again, that's my taste compared to Manny's. And actually, I think she handled that fabric so beautifully. Georgette is one of those fabrics. It's sort of just on my banned list. It scares me too much. I'm not even going to attempt to practice. But yeah, it was beautiful. I think the thing that I would have liked to have seen on it, just because though she kind of put it into the quadrants and she had that harlequin effect on it, I felt like they were quite big pieces. I would have maybe have liked to have seen some lapels on it to give it a tuxedo vibe. I just felt like the chest area, for me, it felt like the chest was missing something. And I think it would have been quite cool to have maybe seen like some, even if she just did like faux lapels on it, just have that lapel vibe and maybe have a couple of buttons on the front to make it look like a tuxedo jacket or a waistcoat.
Yeah, you know what? You've hit the nail on the head there, because I was thinking as well, at the kind of upper chest, it seemed a bit bare, and I was thinking, oh, it's a shame they didn't put like a big necklace on her friend. But actually, if they'd have put lapels on there, that would have done the trick.
Yeah,
I think it just needed something there.
Yeah, and I just think had she'd maybe given it that kind of suit kind of vibe, that would have been really, really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I am in agreement there. That would have been a really cool look. So that was our four finalists and their final look. So the judges had some very difficult conversations to try and decide who the winner was.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy one.
It really wasn't. I mean, there was no kind of outstanding, like out there, miles ahead of everybody else kind of look. I mean, I think Annie's was probably my favourite
out
of all of them, but they all did so well.
Yeah, but I think before we get to the winner, I do just want to point out I loved when Sarah was going round and she started chatting to Manu's friend. I loved the fact that her friend outed her as a Twilight fan. And the fact that, like, Manu just went non-responsive. That was just, I just thought, you know what? I would have, if I ever got onto Sewing Bee, I would have to be really careful who I brought on. Like, I would always have to, like, double check which friends have seen, like, embarrassing things about me, just to make sure I didn't get outed on, like, national TV.
This is a bit awkward, because I just assumed that you would have me as your model.
I mean, you're probably one of my safest friends to have. because it's like, you don't know half of the stupid stuff that I have done in front of friends. So I could never take one of my colleagues, because I have done some absolutely stupid things at work. And yeah, I've got quite a few friends that know some embarrassing stories about me. So yeah, you're actually probably my safest bet to have on at all. But yeah, I also just, when obviously, like, every final they do, they like to kind of go over what the contestants have been doing, which is always my favorite bit of this, because it's lovely to see what everyone got up to after Sewing Bee. I just want to shout out Steve's tuxedo. Oh my god, that was amazing. That guy needs to go into menswear.
Funny you should say that, because I wrote a couple notes here. I didn't write for everybody, but I wrote for a few people, and I put down Steve's tuxedo, and then I put a massive tick next to it.
Yeah.
I thought that looked so professionally done. It was incredible.
For a lockdown sewer to make something of that standard, that was amazing. I thought that was such a smart, I mean, it's not one that would suit everyone, but I thought that really, really suited him. And oh my god, he needs to go in. I mean, he needs to go into business with Patrick.
Yeah,
that level of tailoring was phenomenal. So a massive, massive well done to Steve, because I think to achieve that after only been sewing for a few months, that is a next level. I also just want to say a big congratulations to Brogan and Annie on their new little arrivals. That it was announced that Brogan's pregnant and Annie's had a little baby, which was very, very cute. And like always, they got to Jill's bit and I burst out crying.
No.
Because, yeah, as everyone knows, I am a massive, massive Jill fan. And yeah, and I stupidly watched the same thing 4 times and just cried every single time. So thanks again, Jill. You've made me cry. It's like, this is probably the one season I've cried most at. And it's only been over you, really. You've made me cry a lot because I just absolutely adore you. So yeah, thanks for making me cry. Just saying.
We've also got to congratulate Mitch, who got married.
Yep, definitely.
It was so nice to see all of them, and to see kind of just little snippets of what they've been up to. Yeah. I've seen on the Instagrams, I mean, I think they've all been on holiday together, or at least been having some day outs together, because I'm sure, was it 12 of them? I'm sure the 12 of them, like,
they did a little trip to Wales, didn't they? Which I thought was very, very cute.
How much fun would that have been?
That, I mean, that's the one thing I really love about Sewing Bee, is you create your own little sewing family. Like, you shared this really unique experience with a complete group of strangers and created such an amazing bond together.
They must have an amazing WhatsApp group.
Oh, God, yeah. I would love to be involved in one of those WhatsApp groups. But my final little shout-outs have to go to Esme and Sarah's outfits.
Mm.
Sarah's outfit, it was one of those ones. It was a bit like Brogan's Nana going out outfit, that I absolutely loved and hated it all at the same time. But I thought this was so much fun, and it looks so good on Sarah. it was one of those ones, like, I'm just looking at going, it's got quite a few elements of things that I really don't like, but I can't help but love it at the same time. and Esme for wearing a sequined leopard print. I probably would have mugged Esme if I was on this. Just like, yeah, I need an aspect of that in it. So yeah, Esme probably would have come on like a t-shirt found in Lost and Found. She got mugged for a jumper.
I mean, I've been messaging Esme constantly since the series started saying, Esme, you got to wear some sequined leopard print because Sean would love it.
Thank you.
You know, I've been just hounding her. So I'm glad you. Well, it was the
time she actually listened to our messages.
So we should probably talk about the winner. Yeah. And if anyone doesn't know who the winner are, why are you listening to this? Go and watch the show.
Yeah, but I'd turn off the podcast now. If you have not watched it, turn it off now. We are not going to be blamed for any spoilers.
And so the winner was Annie. Yeah, yeah.
Well done, yeah. Annie. Oh, like, it was, oh, I, her facial expression, like, when they announced it and the shock, and she deserved it. I'm sorry, but I know she was struggling in the first couple of episodes, always kind of found herself in the middle of the ranks. But in the last couple of weeks, she has really shown what an incredible sewer she is. And that final garment was just beautiful. Utterly beautiful. She really deserved this.
I mean, we've gone on and on about all of them, and we've gone on and on about Annie already in this episode. But just to add to that, she is clearly a very gifted natural sewer who has an amazing talent for it, because she's not been doing it that long, and to produce some of the outfits that she's produced is just magical. So I was really happy to see her win. I would have been happy, to be honest, to see any of them win, because I thought they were all great. But it was really quite moving to watch Annie win and how shocked she was, and it was just, yeah, really lovely.
I was very, very, very proud of Annie. Like, I think she really deserved it. I mean, the Bowie dress, her runway jumpsuit, just, yeah, she has a very, very good eye for design. It's a very, very chic design. Yeah, she really deserved it. I'm so incredibly proud of Annie. Well done. Yeah, our new sewing bee queen. She's the new sewing bee queen, and yeah, I'm very happy for her. Very, very happy.
So that brings us to the end of another series.
It really does. I'd just like to say a thank you to you, Rob, for being an amazing podcast host. I mean, this podcast wouldn't happen without you, because I have no idea how to edit this thing. Really, you deserve a shout out all to yourself, because yeah, you do a lot of the hard work. I just turn up like 10 minutes late, but you do all of the hard work. And yeah, so this podcast wouldn't be going on if it wasn't for you, mate. So you have a lot of credit.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. Well, it's always fun talking to you. And actually, I was about to say, one of the things that I am really going to miss is not having our little weekly chats.
Yeah.
I think we'll have to do just some chats, not on the podcast.
Yeah.
And talk about sewing and stuff.
Yeah, sounds like a plan, mate.
Well, I guess that's it. If anyone's got any comments, you can drop it to us on our socials. And let us know what you thought of the series.
Yeah.
We'll be back next year.
Yep. And we're going to remain active on the Sewing Bee Instagram. I think I might set, before uni starts, I think I'm going to set a little Sewing Bee challenge.
Oh.
So I think we might try find one of the pattern challenges. Maybe the baby romper, because that's the one I've got the most experience with. but I would like to maybe set a challenge for some of our listeners to maybe participate in one of the pattern challenges at the set sewing bee time and see what everyone creates. Let's kind of get things rolling a bit more on the social media. Share our podcast with your friends. Get listening. Leave us a nice review, please. I know you have to listen to my voice, but don't blame me. Blame Rob. He's the one who invited me to. It's all Rob's fault. You have to listen to my voice. So yeah, leave us a nice comment, share us with your friends, talk about us on social media. Yeah, do nice things for us, please.
And we should say that we may be at the Stitch Festival at the Alexander Palace in October. I'm definitely hoping to be there for a few days, helping out with some of the Boys Sew 2 stuff. So if people are going to be at that Stitch show, please come and say hello. I'm sure if Sean manages to get there, get a day off uni or something, manages to come, then we will be hunting down the sewing bees to get as many selfies with them as we can.
Yeah, especially with Jill.
Yeah.
Jill, you have to be there. I'm just saying now, you have no choice. If I can get the time off of uni, you have to be there.
Pack some tissues because we may cry.
Yeah. Oh, God, can you imagine? We're just all going to be, like, blubbering. Like, some poor person's stall, at, like, they're trying to talk about how sewing saved their life, and it's just going to be the three of us crying. Dear God, that's... Maybe we might have to do it at a distance and have a set time and maybe have some moderators there so we don't get too blubbery. But yeah, I am definitely hoping to be there if all goes well with uni. But yeah, I am aiming to be there. So I look forward to meeting all of you. And yeah, until next year, mate.
Yeah. So the final thank you is to all the listeners who have listened along to us babbling on about all sorts of stuff. So thank you, guys.
My voice. Because I've listened to the podcast and I just go, oh my God, I can't handle my own voice. So yeah, thank you to everyone who has listened and shared our podcast so far. It's really, really nice to know that people do actually listen, though it did terrify me a little bit when I found out Marnie was listening, because I thought, oh my God, I've just started like an social media fight with Marnie because she slagged off leopard print. But I've forgiven her. We're fine. We're all good. I forgive her. It actually made me chuckle. Though I am tempted to wear as much leopard print as possible next time I meet her, if I ever get to meet her. Thank you everyone who's been listening so far.
Right, for the final time, it's a goodbye from me. Bye.
Goodbye from me. See you next year.
Bye.
Bye.